They're not in the past tense, retorted the Matriosa. I've got them yet. There are three old widowers at home who've been casting sheep's eyes at me for some time. You children needn't think you own all the romance in the world. Widowers and sheep's eyes don't sound very romantic, honey. Well, romantic either. Some of my foes certainly weren't. I used to laugh at them scandals, poor boys. There was Jim Elwood. He was always in a sort of daydream. Never seemed to sense what was going on. He didn't wake up to the fact that I took no till a year after I'd said it. When he did get married, his wife fell out of the sleigh one night when they were driving home from church, and he never missed her. Then there was Dan Winston. He knew too much. He knew everything in the world and most of what was in the next. He could give you an answer to any question, even if you asked him when the judgment day was to be. Milton Edwards. He was real nice, and I liked him, but I couldn't marry him. For one thing, he took a week to get a joke in his head, and for another, he never asked me. Horatio Reeve was the most interesting beau I ever had, but when he told a story, he dressed it up so that you couldn't see it for frills. I never could decide whether he was lying or just letting his imagination run loose. And what about the others, Auntie? Go away and unpack, said Aunt Jamesina, waving Joseph at them by mistake for a meal. The others were too nice to make fun of. I shall respect their memory. There's a box of flowers in your room, ma'am. They came about an hour ago. After the first week, the girls of Patty's Place settled down to a steady grind of study. For this was their last year at Redmond, and graduation honors must be fought for persistently. Anne devoted herself to English. Priscilla pored over classics, and Philippa pounded away. Sometimes they grew tired, sometimes they felt discouraged, sometimes nothing seemed worth the struggle for. In one such mood, Stella wandered up to the blue room one rainy November evening. Anne sat on the floor in a little circle of light cast by the lamp beside her, amid a surrounding snow of crumpled manuscript. What in the world are you doing? Just looking over some old story club yarns. I wanted something to cheer and amuse me. I've studied until the world seemed a jewel. So I came up here and dug these out of my trunk. They are so drenched in tears and tragedy that they are excruciatingly funny. I'm blue and discouraged myself, said Stella, throwing herself on the couch. Nothing seems worthwhile. My very thoughts are old. I've thought them all before. What is the use of living after all, Anne? Honey, it's just the brain fog that makes us feel that way. And the weather. A pouring rainy night like this. Coming after a hard day's grind, would squelch anyone but a Mark Kaplan. You know it is worthwhile to live. Oh, I suppose so, but I can't prove it to myself just now. Just think of all the great and noble souls who've lived and worked in the world, said Anne dreamily. Isn't it worthwhile to come after them and inherit what they've won and lost? And think of all the great people in the world to I like it when it stays on the roof, said Stella. It doesn't always. I spent a gruesome night in an old country farmhouse last summer. The roof leaked and the rain came pattering down on my bed. There was no poetry in that. I had to get up in the murk midnight and chippy round to pull the bedstead out of the crib. And it was one of those solid, old-fashioned beds the way it comes, more or less. And then that drip-drop kept up all night until my nerves just went to pieces. You have no idea what an eerie noise a great drop of rain falling with a mushy thud on the bare floor makes in the night. It sounds like footsteps and all that sort of thing. What are you laughing over, Ella? These stories, as Phil would say, they're killing, in more senses than one, for everyone dies in them. What dazzlingly lovely heroines we had, and how we dressed them. Silks, satins, velvets, jewels, laces. They never wore anything else. Here is one of Jane Andrews' stories depicting her heroine as sleeping in a beautiful white satin nightdress trimmed with seed pearls. Go on, said Stella. I begin to feel that life is worth living as long as there's a laugh in it. Here's one I wrote. My heroine is disporting herself as a ball, glittering from head to foot with large diamonds of the first water. But what boots of beauty or rich attire? The paths of glory lead but to the grave. They must either be murdered or die of a broken heart. There was no escape for them. Let me read some of your stories. Well, here's my masterpiece. Note its cheerful title, My Graves. I shed quarts of tears while writing it, and the other girls shed gallons while I read it. Jane Andrews' mother scolded her frightfully because she had so many handkerchiefs in the wash that week. It's a harrowing tale of the wanderings of a Methodist minister's wife. I made her a Methodist because it was necessary that she should wander. She buried a child every place she lived in. There were 9 of them, and their graves were severed far apart, ranging from Newfoundland to Vancouver. I described the children, pictured their several deathbeds, and detailed their tombstones and epitaphs. I had intended to bury the whole 9, but when I had disposed of 8, my invention of horrors gave out, and I committed the 10th to live as a hopeless cripple. Lost